Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Zayin. We're holding on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. We're beginning a new parak, the fifth parak of Maseches Yuma. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer, in honor of and in Hakaras HaTov for the shir. Also anonymously in the Zechus for Shlema for Shmuel Chaim Ben Gittel, and also many, many yard sites today. It's sponsored by Zecher Nishmas, Harav David Tzvi, Ben Harav Yosef, Rabbi David Kamenetz, a master mechanic and beloved by hundreds of Talmidim, also sponsored by Moshe Zucker in memory of his father-in-law Aryeh ben Yoshua, whose yard site is today, also by Shragi Bril, Li'ili Nishmas, his brother Yona Leib ben Tzvi Hirsch, Alav HaShalom, on occasion of his first yard site, and also sponsored by Zech Nishmas, Yaakov ben Avram Abba, Alav HaShalom, his yard site is today. Each of these special neshamas should have an aliyah from the Zechus of our learning. So we're holding on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is going to discuss, well, this whole parak is going to discuss five topics essentially. The parak is going to talk about the Haktaras Haktaras and the Kodesh HaKadoshim that they did Bein Badei Aaron on Yom HaKippurim. The parak is also going to discuss the Kohen Gadol going back to the Dam HaPar that they had the guy mixing the whole time so that he could go sprinkle it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Third topic is going to discuss is the Shechita of the Seir LaHashem and being Mekabalitz Dam and sprinkling that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Fourth topic is going to be the sprinkling of the Dam HaPar and the Seir outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the Parochas and mixing their Dam together and sprinkling the mixture of their Dam on the Mizbeach HaPnimi and pouring it on the Yesoda Mizbeach HaChitzon. And the final topic is what happens when something gets messed up in the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol does something out of order or the Dam spills. So how do you troubleshoot when you have issues with the Avodah? So that's the overview of the perek. But particularly in today's daf, we're going to start to discuss the ketores. Why it is that we use a kaf, a ladle for the ketores. Why it is that the coals are held in the right hand and the ketores in the left hand. If after all, the ketores is really the ikar, the coals are just the echitimtza, the way you burn the ketores. We're also going to talk about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who is a Kohen Gadol, and some special things about him and some special things about his mother, because he was not the only member of his family that was a Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara is going to talk about whether you're allowed to use a kli to measure the ketores. And then we're going to start talking about kmitza, the shear of kmitza, how kmitza is done, and what happens if some of the flour, the kar mincha, gets stuck in between your fingers. Is that considered part of the kmitza or not part of the kmitza? We're going to have why it's best to have a Kohen with very fat fingers to do the kmitza. And we're going to have Sveikos about the best way of doing both Kmitza and Chafina. Really, today it's really about Chafina, because the Ketores, they would do Chafina Saketores. We'll discuss what that is as well. These are two of the what the Gemara is going to identify in today's daf as the Avodos Kashel Shebamigdash. These very challenging things, together with Malika, these are some of the most challenging things that Kohanim have to do in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Mishnah, the Hotzilo Sakaf Esamach, they bring out the Kohen Gadol from the Lishcha Kelim, where they keep the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, they bring him a ladle and they bring him a shovel. So chafan melo chafnaf, he takes handsful of the ketores v'nasal l'toch hakaf, and he puts handsful of ketores into the kaf, into the ladle. Hagadol l'fi gadlo, v'katan l'fi katano. How big is chafina of the ketores? How big are the handsful? Well, it depends how big his hands are. If he's got very large hands, so then it's going to be a large chafina. Smaller hands are smaller chafina, but it all depends on the size. V'kachayis midasa, and that is exactly the measurement. The Gemara is going to say, "What do you mean? The kachayis midasa means that there is no midah." So the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Natal samachta, he then takes the shovel of gechalim that he had already placed down before on the rovad aravi in the floor of the azara. Biyamino, he takes it in his right hand. V'sakaf b'smolo, and he takes the spoon that is now, or the ladle that's now holding the ketores in his left hand, and he's ready to go. So now says the Gemara, wait a second, they're first bringing him a shovel now. Tanale, we already learned previously on Daf Mem Gimel, Natal Samachto al Rosh HaMizbeach v'chot v'yari. We even had discussions about the nature of this shovel, how it had a long arm and how it was a little bit thinner than the regular shovel that they would use and how it was made out of gold. We had all of these discussions about this shovel. He already went to the top of the Mizbeach, he shoveled off a whole shovel of coals. So now they're just bringing him a new shovel at this point? Says Gemara, yes, it's a different shovel. Hasamachto de gechalim, previously when we spoke about it, it was a shovel full of coals, because the coals are going to be needed on which to burn the ketores. But hacha machta de ketores. Over here, the shovel is not the coals. The shovel is a shovel full of ketores. And from that shovel full of ketores, he takes a melo chafnav of ketores and puts that in the ladle and then burns the ketores in the ladle. Detanya otzilo kaf reikon milishchas hakelim umachta gedusha shal ketores milishchas beis avtinas. That they would bring, the Brisa elaborates, that they would bring an empty ladle from the lishchas hakelim, where they would keep the kelim, and they would bring an overflowing shovel full of ketores from the lishchas beis avtinas, because that was al gabe azara, and they had all sorts of ketores over there, because it was the beis avtinas were the ones that prepared the ketores. We already learned about them as well. This is one of those families that were not eager to share their expertise with other people. They knew what the mala ashan was, and they had that as a tradition in their family. So this is the beis avtinas. So that's where they would bring the ketores from. So it's got nothing to do with the coals. The coals are already sitting on the rov at a ravi. Now they bring another shovel full of ketores so that he can take from there to put into the kaf. So the Mishnah says kaf and melo kaf namasal tocha kaf hagadol fi gadlo vakatol fi katno vekachay samidasa, and that was the midah, that was the measurement. So kaf biyom kippurim lamali. Why is it that the Kohen Gadol needs a ladle in Yom Kippurim to put the ketores into melo chafnav vehevi amarachmana? After all, the Torah doesn't say anything about a kaf. It says that he takes melo chafnav ketores. He takes a handful of ketores and he brings that mi beis laparochas. The pasuk says. So it sounds like you don't have to bring it all yidei kli, that he could bring it in his hands. So and because of the chulsha of the Kohen Gadol, we've learned so many things where we try to lighten his burden and we try to make him carry less. So make him carry less. Don't make him carry a ladle. Let him just bring the ketores in by hand. Says Mar, no, mishum delo efshar. He can't bring it in without a kli, because he's also going to need to bring a shovel full of coals in order to burn the ketores on those coals. So the hechinavid, what do you want him to do? Na'ayil v'hadr na'ayil. You want him to go in once with the shovel full of coals and come back in again with melo chafnav ketores? Hava achas amarachman v'loshtei avos. The Torah says that he's only supposed to go in once. He's not supposed to go in twice, in the Maisa HaKetores, at least, as far as when he's handling the Ketores. So, Nishkele L'Ketores B'Chofnov V'Nachte L'Machta Allah. So what do you want him to do? Take the Ketores in his hands full, and then put the shovel with the coals on top of the Ketores as he's holding them all in his hands, V'Leil, and go in that way. So now he's going to be walking in with Ketores in his hands, a shovel of coals on top of the Ketores, and now he's going to have to flip them, right? He's going to have to somehow get the coals on the bottom and the ketores on top to put the ketores on top of the coals. How's he going to handle that? So kimati asam, when he gets there into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he needs the shovel on the floor in order to put the ketores in his chafnav on top of the gechalim. So hey chilavin, how's he supposed to do that? He can't put it down with his hands because his hands are full of ketores. So nishkalei b'shine v'nachte l'machta, you want him to then lift off the shovel full of coals with his teeth and then put it down on the floor that way? So I would have asked on that. That's impossible. How's he going to carry a shovel full of coals with his teeth? I mean, and especially according to Shitas Rashi, that the whole shovel was metal. So Cham Iksasa Cham Kulo, he's going to burn his tongue. I mean, the whole thing is going to be impossible. It's going to be so hard to do. What if he doesn't have such great teeth? So Hashul of Neimel, but the Gemara asks differently. The Gemara says that's so undignified that that's going to be the Avoda Lefnei V'Lefnim, that he's going to be moving things around with his mouth. Hashul Lefnei Melech Pasar V'Dam, you wouldn't do that in front of a Melech Pasar V'Dam. For sure you're not going to behave that way in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hilkach lo efshar. So it's not possible to bring the Gecholim and the Ketores to the Kodesh HaKadoshim at one time without a Kli. And kiven to lo efshar, since it's impossible to do it without a Kli, avdinan kida ashkan b'nasiim, we do it like we find by the Nasiim that brought the Ketores with a Kaf. And that was just last week's Parsha, where he said Kaf achas asar zahav mileya Ketores. Right? So even though it doesn't say anything about the Kaf, when it talks about the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, when they were mechanich the Mishkan, the Nasiim brought their karbanos for the Chanukah Samizbeach, and each Nasi brought one day. So we had this. Where exactly is this pasuk? It happens a lot of times, right? Kavachas Sarzav Malei Ketores. But each Nasi we describe how he brings a kafachas, so he brings one kaf of Ketores. So the riot from the Nesim is because there's a dayer that holds that Lekicha al yidei dover acher is not called Lekicha. There's a sugya and sukkah and daf lamed zayin. When you're supposed to be lokech, when you're supposed to take something, do we assume that you can take it through medium, that you can pick it up with something else? So that's a machlokas and mesecha sukkah daf lamed zayin. So if you hold Lekicha al yidei dover acher is loshma Lekicha, that's not called velakach, so the chori you shouldn't be able to take the Ketores in the calf, because the Torah says v'lakach when it talks about the Kohen Gadol taking the Ketores on Yom HaKippurim, and l'chor would be better to take it with his teeth, even though it's not derech kavod, than to take it with a spoon, because you wouldn't be a yotze at all you wouldn't be yotze l'kicha at all. But even according to that shita, that l'kicha so the Gemara is trying to prove, the Gevur Sari points out that even according to that shita, l'kicha, a normal l'kicha that's kederech min ha'olam is considered a lekicha. Meaning, what's the problem with lekicha al yidei dover acher? It's not just that there's something else involved, it's that it's unusual, it's abnormal. But over here, the normal way to carry ketores is with a kaf. How do I know it's a normal way to carry ketores? Because whenever we find it in the Torah with all the nasiim, who's kaf achas, sarazam le ketores? They always had a kaf of ketores. So here also, it's a minig derech ha'olam. So everyone is moda that's called a lekicha. That's what the Nezer HaKodesh writes. Gevur Sari has a little bit of a different answer. Okay, so that's what he would do. So Natal Samach to be a minvis akaf b'smol. So now he's got a shovel full of coals. He's got a ladle full of ketores. So says Gemara Yitziva ba'aro giyor b'shmei Shemaya. What kind of business is this? The ketores is the ikker. That should be in the right hand. There's an expression Chazalav Yitziva ba'aro means the citizens. The citizens of your country are going to be on the ground, and giyor b'shmei Shemaya, and the illegal immigrants, the illegal aliens are going to be. You're not allowed to say illegal aliens anymore. The illegal immigrants are going to be, you're not allowed to say illegal. The immigrants are going to be up in Shemayim. So it's backwards. How do you run a country like that where the citizens have all the disadvantages and the people who are not legally present in the country are all going to have all of the advantages? That's insanity. The Gemara says, so you're going to have the Ketores in your left hand and the Gachelas, the coals in your right hand. That's insanity. So the Gemara explains, no, there's a reason why they have to take the Ketores and the Gechalim opposite of what you would have thought. Because Zomarubav is a Muates, that the shovel full of Gechalim is much larger, so it had three kav of Gechalim, it was heavy, whereas the Ketores was very small. It was only a Melo Chafnav of Ketores. So the heavier thing he takes in his right hand, because the right hand is a stronger hand. The lighter thing he takes in his left hand, because the Kohen Gadol would have a hard time lifting a shovel with three kav of Ketores in his left hand. And even if they were the same size, because after all we said the Kohen Gadol's Melo Chafnav depends on the size of the Kohen Gadol. So maybe he had gigantic hands and he was able to have three kav worth of Ketores, but still he would take the Machta with the Gechalim in his right hand, because by most Kohanim Gedolim it would turn out that it was larger, that the shovel was larger. You may have a Kohen Gadol with enormous hands that had three kav in his Melo Chafnav, but it's unusual. Where do we ever find that Shneim Shavin, like the story with Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who was a Kohen Gadol, and his hands were able to hold four kavin, as we'll soon explain. So even if the Ketores is more than the Gechalim, so why in that case would you take the Ketores with the left hand? Because Ochamav is a Tzenenes, because the Gechalim are very hot, so you need more Koach to hold something that's hot. So you'd carry it in his right hand, whereas the Ketores were still cool, because he hasn't burnt the Ketores yet, so it was easy to carry, and he would carry that in his left hand. That's what it seems to be, that the stronger hand not only can carry more weight, but it can tolerate more heat. Or maybe he'll have more control over it, and the heat won't hit him in the face as he's walking, because he'll have more control over the shovel, whatever it might be, but somehow it's more beneficial to him to carry the item that's hot in his stronger hand. Maybe he'll be less nervous about dropping it. Amr Lev Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Once we talk about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, let's talk a little more about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. They said about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, his mother's name was Kimchis, Rashi points out. His father's name was Pavi, Pei Aleph Beis Yud, and he was Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi. We mentioned him earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tes. He was from the Kohen, he was among the few Kohanim Gedolim in Bayesheni who were actually tzaddikim. That's what the Gemara in Sota, Mem Tesam Beis, says, that Bishmeis Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi Batla Ziv HaKuhuna, that he was the last one that really expressed the dignity of Kuhuna, or the glory of Kuhuna. So we hear, why do we call him Rishon Ben Kimchas? Elsewhere we call him Rishon Ben Pavi, and it's normal to call someone by their father's name. You only call someone by their mother's name when you're davening for a Refuah Shleima or something, but why would you call him by his mother's name over here? So it's obvious why, or it's going to become obvious why. We call him by his mother's name because we're about to tell stories about his mother as well. So we're now over here, we're not going to be telling stories about his father, so we talk about his mother, and the Gemara is going to say that his rights to Kuhuna Gedolah, his ability to rise to the position, and all of his brother's abilities to rise to the position of Kuhuna Gedolah was by virtue of the zechus of his mother. So that's why when we're highlighting his role as a Kohen Gadol, we highlight his mother. His mother was a very special person. So they said, he also had enormous hands. He just physically had enormous hands. He was able to take 4 kaven of ketores in his hands full. And he would say, all of the women, they made a zered. We'll see what that means. But my mother is better than the rest of them. Hers is stronger than everybody else, and that's why I turned out to be better than everybody else. Because everyone, acted valiantly. My mother's actions, my mother's behaviors were even better than everybody else's, and that's why I'm able to do the avoda of Kuhuna Gedolah in such a special way. Ikata Amri Ba'arson. Some say that what was so great about her was the types of food that she would eat when she was pregnant. So she developed these strong, robust children because she had these great prenatal vitamins. Ukadarab Baryonasan, Damra Baryonasan Rabichil, Arson Yafalachola, that it's this arson, this type of food that's made out of wheat, is very good for a chola, and a muberis is considered a chola. So they prepared this arson in order to give them strength, in order to help them gain strength while they're pregnant. So the one that Rabbi Shmuel, the particular food, the nourishment that Rabbi Shmuel's mother got, made her very strong, and therefore she produced very strong children. And some say it was the Shechva Zera that his mother's body was able to develop. That Vlad is only, they have a lot of tipos of Shechva Zera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mavchin ben tipa letipa to determine which tipa Zera is going to make it to impregnate the woman, and her body was able to sort of absorb the best of all the tipa Zera, all of the million cells of sperm that were trying to impregnate, to get her pregnant. Her body somehow picked the best one each time. So it was Allah Lagag, that she absorbed the best Zera. And this is along the lines of what Rabbi Avo said. Rabbi Avo asked that there's a stira that the Lashonos of Psukim in David's Shira that he said after he was saved from his enemy seems to be a stira. Ksiv on the one hand says in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Vatazreini Chayil Lamelchama, Vatazreini is missing an aleph, and Uksiv, and it says in Tehillim, Vatazreini Chayil Lamelchama, Vatazreini is said with an aleph. So in order to be Mitarit, what's the word? Amar Dov Yakodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Zirei Sani, the Lashon of sifting out of Birur, that you've created me from the best tipa, so that's Vatazreini, and Zerastani, and you've also made me Mezuras, you've made me very strong and very healthy, and that's Vatazreini. So both of those things are what Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis said about when his mother conceived him, that she managed to both Vatazreini and Vatazreini, that she, similar to David HaMelech, that she managed to have the best tipa, and she managed to develop the pregnancy in the best way, because she got the best nourishment during the pregnancy. So now, once we talk about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis a little bit more, Amro Lava Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Pamachas, one time in Yom Kippur, when he was Kohen Gadol, he came out in between the Avodos, and Sipur Dvarim Maravi Echad Bashuk, and he spoke to a certain Arab in the Shuk, because he had something that he had to discuss with him, apparently. There was something must have been very important, because it was the middle of the Avodos HaKohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, it sounds like. So it must have been really important to have this conversation. Vinitza Tzinorim Mipiv Al Begadav, and a little bit of saliva came from the Arab's mouth when they were talking. and landed on Rabbi Shmuel's clothing. And the Chumra goes there that a Nachri has a din of a Zav, and his roke is therefore Metameh, even B'masa. So since the roke touched Rabbi Shmuel's Begadim, it's as if he's carrying this roke, and he becomes Tameh until the end of the day. So now he can't do the rest of the Avodah that day. So V'nichnas Yeshevav Achiv, and his brother Yeshevav went into the Beis HaMikdash V'shimesh Tachtav, and he took over the Kuna Gedola for the rest of that Yom HaKippurim. V'rasi Imat Shnei Kohanim Gedolim B'yom Echad, and imagine the nachas of a mother, she sees two sons serving as Kohen Gadol on the same day. She had two sons serving as Kohen Gadol. They also said about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis that Pam Achas Yatzav Siper im Hegmon Echad B'Shuk. He once went and had to talk to a certain officer in the Shuk. And again, some saliva from this Hegmon landed on his Begadim. And Yosef, his brother, not Yeshevav, this time it was Yosef, his brother, came and served as Kohen Gadol instead of him. And on this other occasion, his mother got to see two Kohanim Gedolim serve on the same day. So the Rishonim are bothered. Why didn't Yeshevav take over the second time? Why was it a different brother? What did Yeshevav do wrong? So they said he must have died. That's why he wasn't around anymore. Or it could be in order that Rabbi Shmuel shouldn't have a Chalisha Sadas. Tosfot points out that he's going to see the same brother keeps coming in and taking over for him, that he's going to feel like that he's going to lose the starting job, to his brother. So that's why they brought in another brother. And the Tosfos Yeshanim writes that it's pashut that she didn't bury her children. It must be because otherwise, we're about to say that because of this, she was such a great tzaddikas and she did right, so she had all these children who became Kohanim Gedolim. Well, they only all became Kohanim Gedolim because they each died and the next one had to take over. That's no great tzuchus. That's not a great thing to experience in life, that one child after another dies so that she could see all of them become Kohanim Gedolim. It must be that for whatever reason, Yeshevav wasn't available at that time. But hard to say that it was because he had died. So now the Gemara brings the zuchus of this woman, Kimchis, Satan Rabban, and Shiva Banam Ayilal Kimchis, famous Gemara. There were seven, Kimchis had seven sons, V'kulin Shimshu B'kuna Gedola, and they were all Meshamish B'kuna Gedola. So Amr L'Chachamim, Ma'asisa. So the Chacham said, what did you do? What mitzvah did you do that you were Shezuchisa L'kach, that you were Zochat to such an unbelievable thing to have so many sons that were Kohanim Gedolim? So Amr L'Mi, Yamei L'Ro, Koros Beisi, Kilei Sa'arai. That the walls of my house never saw the braids of my hair. That because of this extra level of tzniyus, that's why she was Zochat. So Amr L'Mi, they said to her, Harbe Asukein, V'loho Ilu. You think that you're the only Jewish woman with such a lofty madrega of tzniyus? A lot of people did that. There aren't too many women walking around that have seven children that were Kohanim Gedolim. So that can't be the whole story, meaning even though that might be part of the story. So there's a question why it is that tzniyus is the particular zuchus that leads to kuhuna gedola. So some of the acharim suggest that the kohen gadol is nichnas lefnai v'lefnim, and the lefnai v'lefnim is the most sanua place in the entire world because there's only one person that no one is allowed to be there, no one's allowed to be near there when he goes lefnai v'lefnim, and no one else is ever allowed to go there ever. So it is the most sanua place in the world. So her extra tzniyus is it's a midah k'neged midah that he gets to go into this most sanua place. And the Sefer Avos HaRosh on the Avos Rabbi Nassan, he says that there's a Zohar that a woman who doesn't cover her hair properly is goremes anius. She causes anius and causes a lack of chashivus from her children. So Kimchis was very careful about this. So she was mekabel schar midah tovas meruba that her children became kohanim gedolim. There's no greater chashivus than being a kohen gadol, and memela through that there was zochet hashirus, because the Gemara said a kohen gadol me'achav that he has to be gadol me'achav b'koach b'noy b'chachmo b'osher. It's one of the qualities that's necessary for a kohen gadol. So whatever one loses for lack of tznius, she got an extra measure for having extra tznius. Particularly also, you see from this Gemara, Rav Shechter points out in one of his farim in Eretz Tzvi or Bikvei Atzon, I don't remember. I think in Eretz Tzvi that you find that there's an association with tznius and kedusha, that kohanim gedolim is functioning in the mikdash, and that's a dafka, a reward for tznius. And he says that's why Klal Yisrael meinim neviim b'nei neviim heim, that even if it's hard to explain certain things that we do, when you look hard enough you see why we do certain things, that in for whatever reason, even in very 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 religious litvisha communities years ago, it was very common that Rashi Yeshiva's wives didn't cover their hair, that nobody covered their hair in the litvisha community. It was only by the Hasidim that they were were covering their hair, but there was one thing that they always did. When they came to shul, they always covered their hair. Women didn't wear stockings. When they came to shul, they always wore stockings. That's why in shul, they always had the doilies and the baskets. That's like a shul thing. Well, why dafka when you come to shul? Because shul is kedusha. Tznius and kedusha are closely linked with each other. So there's this intuition that Klal Yisrael has that dafka when you go to shul, that there has to be an extra level of tznius, specifically in a makum kadosh, in a beis haknesses. So it's also an interesting discussion that the maskana of the Gemara seems to be that it wasn't really the right answer. That's not really what it was, all tali b'mazel, because the Chum Seter, that's not the reason. They said a lot of people have such sneers, and they weren't zochet to seven sons that were kohanim gadolim. But the Yerushalmi is mashma that the Chum were moditer, because over there it says that kol kim chaya kamach v'kimcha d'kimcha solas, that they did play on words of her name, that she's, her name was Kimchis. They said everybody else's flower is just regular flour, kemach, right? And the kemach of Kimchis is solas. The kemach of Kimchis is the finest flour. I mean, that's what they commented after she told them her feeling as to why she was zochelikach. But you also see from here, there's no such halacha that koros besa are not allowed to see. The walls don't really have eyes, right? So there's no such halacha that koros besa are not allowed to see her hair. But what you see from here, that particular in this area of tznius, whatever chumras you accept are considered appropriate and extra kedusha. Sometimes chumras are not appropriate. Sometimes a person takes upon themselves extra chumras and they're totally inappropriate for the person to do. A chumra usually leads to a kula in some other area of halacha. But the Gemara is highlighting that a chumra is, that extra chumras are always appropriate. Remember when I first got married, my wife wasn't sure, do you have to cover, she knew she's supposed to cover her hair, but what about in front of her father? What about in front of her brother? Right? Do you have to cover your hair in front of people who are family members? So I don't know. So I asked around the Beis Medrash, the YU Beis Medrash at the time, and everyone knew the answer. The only problem is half the people thought the answer was yes, and half the people thought the answer was no. But everyone was sure that they knew the answer. So I happened to run into Rav Reuven Feinstein at a chasana, and I asked him, and he said, at a bar mitzvah, one of the Tendler bar mitzvahs, and he said Kimchis. I had not yet learned Maseches Yuma at the time. I had no idea what he was talking about, so I said, oh, okay, thank you. And then I realized afterwards that this is what he was referring to, that obviously that every chumra that you have is a good chumra. So he seemed to have been assuming that Meikra did not require it, but a nice chumra. So Tan Rabban, the Braisa tells us, Bekumtso, that he would take Kometz HaMincha, Shelo Yase Mida LeKometz. You're not supposed to have a measuring cup for the comet. So Yibaylu, Maharshi has a Mida L'chafina. What about the Melochafnov of Ketoris that he has to take? Can you make a measuring cup to take the right amount? So Hasam Hu D'chsiv Bekumtso, maybe by the Kemitza, it says Bekumtso, so we learn that it has to be done dafka by hand and can't be done with a measuring instrument, Aval Hacha, but by the Chafina Sektoris, D'loksiv B'chafnov, it doesn't say B'chafnov, Ela Umlo, Chafnov Ketoris, Samim Daka. So maybe over there you don't have to do it dafka Biyadav, because it just says you should have the amount of ketores you should have is a malo chafnav. That's the shear of what you're of the amount of ketores you're supposed to bring in. Even if you're bringing in the kli, that would be good enough. Odil miyalef malo malo mikumetzo, or maybe whatever the rule is by kometz, the rule is going to be by chafina because the term malo is used by both, right? V'kometz misham malo kumetzo and umalo chafnav. So maybe since by kometz you're not allowed to have a measuring utensil, you got to just take the kemitza. So too, when it comes to the Ketores, it says Mar Tashema will bring a raya to be poshet this suffix from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'kach hoisa midasa," and that was its measurement. So my love, Shimratzalasas mida acheres osa. Doesn't that mean that if they want to make a kli that measures it out, you're allowed to do that? So what the Mishnah is saying is, he takes Melo Chafnav, he puts it into the kaf, and how big is the Melo Chafnav? So it all depends on the size of the Kohen Gadol. But if he wants to make a clay mida for the chafina, so that is the Mida, meaning a larger Kohen Gadol will have to make a larger Kli, and a smaller Kohen Gadol will have to make a smaller Kli, but you're allowed to make a Kli. So it says more low. When we say Kacha Yisamidasa, it means that just like he was Chofin the Ketores outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he'd pour it from the Kaf back into his hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's what it means. Kacha Yisamidasa, that's what they would pour back, that exact amount was poured back into his hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when he was Makter the Ketores. So you see from here, here that there's such a din that he has to take a chafina outside and then he's chazer v'chafin mibifnim. And the Gemara is going to explain on daf mem tes a little more details about that. So this answers the Gemara. No, not necessarily a raya. Dilma shem ratzalasos mida osa. Maybe it means that if he wants to make a kli mida, he's allowed to do it. He's allowed to do that. Meaning we don't have clearly a raya that he's got to take a melo chafna bifnim. It might mean that the Mishnah might mean that, or it might mean that he's allowed to make a kli to measure the chafina. Inami shleichas v'shlo yosir. Or it could be that it means neither of those things. That when we say v'kachay semidasa, it just means that he shouldn't do any less than the measurement of a melo chafnav, or any more than the measurement of a melo chafnav. It's just saying be precise when you take a melo chafnav. Take as much as your hands can handle, but not more, not less than your hands can handle. So Tanu Rabbanan, once we talk about kometz, so we'll talk a little bit more about the kemitza. Says the Braisa, melo kumtso, so yachal, you might think miboratz, that you should take the kemitza in a way that that your hand is, it's got flour coming out on all sides. So tamalomer bikumtso, that's why the pasuk says bikumtso, that whatever is from the sherei amincha will be in the kometz and shouldn't go outside of the kometz. Whatever you're going to burn from the sherei amincha is going to be in the kometz. So if you only had bikumtso, yachal afil brashi etzbosav, I might have thought that it's enough to just have a little bit just from your fingertips that hold into your palm, and you don't have to fill up the whole palm of your hand with the kemitza. So tamalomer melokumtso. That's why it says melokumtso, which makes it sound like it needs to be a little bit more. So kedekam tiinchi, which means a handful, like the way people would take. So haketzad, how do you do that? Chof esholosh esposav al pisas yado. You take three fingers over the palm of your hand. You fold the three fingers over the palm of your hand. Vikomates, and you take out a kemitza full of the flour in that way. And then the Braisa continues that the kmitza u'b'machlas marcheshes, and the minchas machlas and minchas marcheshes, which didn't have a kometz of because they're menachos that were not nikmatzos, because they're only solus and shemen, they're fried together in a machlas or a marcheshes before you take the kmitza. So you crush it up into pieces, and you take the kometz from the psisim, and that's a very hard thing to do, to take the kometz, because it's already fried, so it's already falling apart. So mochik begudlo, you then have to measure, you have to smooth it out with your thumb, milamayla ubetzba uketana milamata, and with your pinky at the bottom, the zui avodakash shab mikdash. And to manage to do that, that's the avodakash shab mikdash. That's the hardest thing to do in the mikdash, to take an exact kometz and smooth out the extras on the top and the bottom with your available fingers, with your thumb and your pinky, and still come out with the exact kometz and not take too much out. So zui visulo, that's the only hard thing to do in the mikdash. Ve'ika malika, what about malika? Malika sa'of doesn't seem like a picnic, that you're going to take your fingernail and you're going to cut through the back of the neck of the chicken, of a bird rather, of a Torah ben yona, with your fingernail. So that's ve'ika chafina. What about the chafina, the second chafina of Ketores and Yom Kippur that was done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? We haven't yet described that, but that's also a very challenging avodah, not the one that we have described. The one that we've described is just taking out of the shovel and putting it into the calf, but getting it back from the calf into your hands, both hands. When, how do you handle getting it from a ladle into both of your hands? So that's a more, that's also a very challenging avodah. El zui may avodas kashrus shel mikdash. Now the kemitza is one of the avodas kashrus shel mikdash, but it's not the only avodah kashrus shel mikdash. So now the Braisa said that the mincha is that sticking, the parts of the mincha that are sticking outside of your hand are not included in the kemitza, and you have to smooth them out with your fingers. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yeshua ben Uza'a. Rabbi Yeshua ben Uza'a raised the following shayla. His name was not really ben Uza'a. The Achron pointed out he was from a city called Uza. So it really shouldn't be ben Uza'a, it should be Rabbi Yeshua Uza'a. That's without the ben. Beina beinayim shel melo kumtso. If he took his three fingers full, and his etzba, his amma, and his kemitza, and he put it and some of the flowers between the fingers, mahu. So does that have a din of all the rest of the kemitza, and he's makter that in the mizbeach, or is that like the shiarei amincha, which gets eaten? Meaning whatever doesn't fit in his three fingers, right? Certainly is the shiarei amincha. Whatever's inside of the three fingers between his palm and his three fingers, that's for sure the kemitza. That's what's going to get burnt. What about in between the fingers? If stuff gets stuck in between the fingers, that which is on the inside is for sure the kometz. That which is you could see from the outside of his fingers, it was also not a shaila. Devadei shirayimu. That's for sure not part of the kmitza. Kiti balak beni beni. If it's mamish between the fingers, where you wouldn't be able to see it from the inside of the hand nor from the outside of the hand, it's really stuck between the fingers. My. So what's the din? Does that have a din of komets or does that have a din of shirayim? Some Rabbi Yochanan hadar pasch Rabbi Shua ben Uzzah ben Abinayim safek ninu, that he was poshet the shaila. How's he poshet the shaila? That it's a safek. That doesn't sound like he was poshet the shaila at all. To say that it's a suffix. Sounds like he thinks that it's still a shayla. So you see that there's such a concept that sometimes something is a suffix betoras vadai. That meaning the answer to the shayla is that it always must be treated as a suffix. This is what the Achronim write. Really, the Ritva already writes it, but the Ragachavar writes it, and the Rav Salvechik had a whole Yartzeit shir on this idea that when we talk about Ben Ashmashos, so what exactly is Ben Ashmashos? So we have suffix yom, suffix laila. Might be daytime, might be nighttime. So the Rishonim already have such an idea, but the Achronim elaborated on the idea that Ben Ashmashos was, they were already poshet what it is. It's a suffix, meaning sometimes something has characteristics of one and the other, and because it has characteristics of one and the other, the halacha is that you treat it as suffix, even though it's not a suffix, even though it's a vadai. Even such a thing that you only treat as a suffix, betaras vadai, could probably still be mitzarif to a svek sveka. You could probably still use that as a svek sveka, even though it's not really a suffix, meaning it's really only it's really betaras vadai. But there's a lot of Torah on that particular idea that they were poshet that something happens to be a suffix. So if you have it, how would they do? How would they take from the komets if they're not going to burn it? They're going to be missing some of the kmitza. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, makter komets l'chudei tchila. First they'd be makter whatever is definitely part of the komets. V'adar ben abinayim, and then whatever got stuck between the fingers, they'd be makter that as well. Diam ben abinayim bereisha. If they would be makter the stuff between the fingers first, dil mishirayim ninhu. Then it would be problematic because it might have a din of shirayim, and if the shirayim become chaser a little bit, if you're missing some of the shirayim in between the kmitza and aktara, that's going to be a problem. It would then disqualify you from being able to bring the komets. But wait a second, you still didn't solve the problem by bringing the kmitza first, because any carbon that you're that your maktir or the entire part that's rotway for the esh on the mizbeach, so it's an isra of the rest of the carbon is bebal taktiru. So as soon as they take the kmitza and they're maktir that, they shouldn't be allowed to take the bein abinayim and be maktir that, because it's now it has an isra of bal taktiru if it's not really part of the kmitza. Some review the brei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi to maktir le l'shem etzim. They'd be maktir l'shem etzim, not l'shem kometz. Because Rabbi Elazar, Titania, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Lazar says the isser to be maktir, the leftovers of the carbon that after you've already been maktir, part of it is l'reach nicholach iatamala, aval atamala l'shem etzim. You're not allowed to be malit l'shem reach nicholach, but you are allowed to be malit l'shem etzim. So anich l'Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbanon ma'ikel neimer. That's good for Rabbi Lazar. According to the Rabbanon, what do you do? So Rabbi Mari the kamtzi shemini, that they would have fat kohanim with fat fingers, and that way things wouldn't get stuck because in between the fingers, because the fingers would take up the entire space. They have nice grub of fingers for the Kohanim Gedolim. That's one of the qualities that they would look for the Kohanim Gedolim. I'm sure Rabbi Lazar would think that that's a good idea as well. I reminded the story, I think it was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky met Golda Meir, and she was complaining why the yeshiva boys don't go to the army and the exemptions, and why the Rabbanim, not the yeshiva boys, about the Sheirut Lumi and what the Rabbanim are doing, what the stipler is going crazy about with not allowing the Sheirut Lumi. So Rabbi Yaakov wanted to explain to her that it's hard for someone who's not a rabbi to understand Psak Halacha, and trust the rabbis to do what they're good at. So he said to her, you're a wonderful prime minister. Are you a good piano player? So she said, no, I can't play the piano at all. He said, yeah, because the piano playing is for pianists and prime ministering is for prime ministers, and you're an excellent prime minister. So I'm a rabbi, you have to let the rabbanim handle the halacha. So they asked Rabbi Yaakov afterwards, how did you know that you couldn't play piano? That conversation could have gone sideways. What if she would have said, I know how to play piano? So he said, I looked at her fingers, she had grubby fingers.
that there's no way that she could play piano. So that's a quality that you look for, not only in a prime minister, but also apparently in a Kohen Gadol. You look for that quality of having thicker fingers. So now the Gemara brings other sveikos relating to Chafina and Kmitza. So we have a simon for those sveikos. Benayim, Pashan, Machas, Pazar, Chashav, Chafinas, and Chavero are the simon, but we're out of time. So Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, where we're going to start going through all of these sveikos. Okay, have a great day. Great Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.